This is the Brand Thomas Podcast. Welcome to the Brand Thomas Podcast. This week I chat to Georgiana Huddard, the creative director and co-founder of cult favorite swimwear line Hansa G. Despite a pandemic, the growth of the label has continued to soar over the last year with an ever-increasing bevy of famous fans, including Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, Kim Kardashian, Pandora Sykes, and many, many more. In our podcast today, Georgiana discusses the company's sustainable practices and the very special fabric combination which make Hansa G swimwear a universally flattering fit. I'm Louise Duffy and this is the Brand Thomas Podcast. Okay, Georgiana, thank you so much for joining me on the Brand Thomas Podcast.
It's a pleasure. Very excited to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have you. I think that so many of us have seen Hansa G on Instagram and on the beaches when we were allowed to go to the beaches. But to put it into context, a lot of people might not know that they spotted Hansa years ago in one of the most iconic Hollywood movies, in one of the very first scenes, Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman in that blue and white dress. That's Hansa, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the iconic images and pieces that the original Hansa made in the 80s. It's such a great dress.
It's such a great dress. So it's the one with white on top, blue on the bottom, and that like big ring holding it all together.
Exactly.
So, but you always had a love for this fabric. So, you know, it's this kind of crinkly fabric. I remember having swimsuits when I was young with that crinkled fabric, and they were always so flattering, even for a kid, you know. But I haven't seen them since. So what drew you to that fabric and how did you create this label?
Well, pretty much exactly what you just said. I remembered it from being young, having swimming costumes in that fabric and being able to run around. My mum had a matching one. I remember them being really comfy. My mum was pregnant in one, then she wore it when she wasn't pregnant, and then I'm one of six children, so it was like constantly being worn pregnant and then not pregnant, then pregnant, and it always went back to the same size, and it just felt like a bit of a no-brainer that nobody was making anything in that fabric anymore. So my brother also had the Pretty Woman dress, but in red, and he was one of three. He was the only boy in three sisters, and we used to make him dress up in it and dance around. Poor him. It was in our dressing up box, and so it was just like a huge part of my childhood.
But yeah, so as a kid, that swimsuit grows with you, and you know, as a parent, I'm sure it was so great just to have a swimsuit that would last summer after summer after summer for your kids.
Exactly, it lasts forever. You can swap it between children. We accidentally last summer actually put some just cut out images of the kids' wear, because we hadn't shot it on any children, on our website. And we had a few grown-ups buying it by accident, thinking it was a grown-up swimming costume, sending us pictures saying this feels kind of a little bit tight. We got to respond saying, well, you're actually in a 2 to 6 year old swimming costume, so I'm not really surprised. I mean, the stretch in it is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's like no other fabric. It's so unique.
And good for the ego too, then, if you're going to manage to squeeze yourself into a 2 to 6 year old swimsuit.
Exactly.
You're going to feel good on the beach.
Exactly.
So tell us about you before you started. So you always had this connection to that fabric, so that crinkle stretch fabric. What was your connection with fashion, or what was your background in the industry?
I did a history of art degree. I'd worked for a couple of designers. I worked for a stylist in New York and did an internship at American Vogue with her. And I then came back and started working in interiors, which is really creative as well. And I feel like all of the different, all of these different industries, they're not singular. They all cross-reference each other. So I love the idea that you can take inspiration from historical references, not just always fashion references or always current references. And I felt like my history of art degree, my interiors small interiors career and having worked for designers was a good stepping stone. I did it actually as a side thing, the Hansa. I didn't know whether it was going to take off. And I, to be honest, I didn't really care. I just thought it was such a great fabric and such a great idea. And the idea that every single woman would be shopping for the same product because it's one size, and you just eliminate the, exactly what you said, the feeling slightly uncomfortable about your sizing or worrying that something might fit, or does this brand sell stuff slightly small, or does it come up big? Am I bigger on the bottom? Am I bigger on the top? I was like, everybody needs to have a shopping experience that's enjoyable, where you can just click on a product and you know that you're all buying the same product, but it's going to fit you and make you feel great.
And then how did the partnership with Hansa come to be? So, you know, as we mentioned, that brand existed, I mean, how old is Pretty Woman? Is that 25 years, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
How did that partnership come alive then?
So I made some dresses out of the fabric. I managed to get hold of some old stock fabric, and I made some dresses. I made some swimming costumes just in white and black, and I'd wear them to parties, to festivals. I was working in interior design, so it was very much a side, still a side thing, and I was trying to get the production together. I wanted it to be made in England. I didn't know how to get the fabric. I'd tried to get more fabric, but it was really hard to find anybody who knew how to produce it to such a good quality. And I was wearing one of the dresses at a party, and somebody came up to me and said that they knew Peter, who did Hansa in the 80s, and that I should speak to him, because I said, oh, I've been trying to start this brand, but it's really difficult. I love Hansa, I'll have a word with him. And then I called him the next day, and we went for a coffee the day after that. Very informally, I had a plastic bag, Sainsbury's bag, filled with my samples. Brilliant. And he said, oh, I did it in the 80s. I'm not sure it's a thing anymore, but like, I'm very happy to give it a go. You do what you want. Start tomorrow just doing it. He had a space already set up, and the production, because he'd done it before, was easy to quickly put into place. And that's how we began.
Well, how serendipitous, but also how great to meet somebody so supportive from the outset with, you know, with those,
exactly,
with those you know, those building blocks already in place.
Exactly. And we did it initially, which is a real luxury to be able to do it like this, but we did it as something that was meant to be enjoyable. It was never, neither of us were trying to make lots of money from it or for it to become a global brand. I really wanted more swimming costumes for myself that I had designed. My friends wanted them. Everybody who saw me wearing them at stuff, or that I gave people presents wearing them, would say, oh my God, everybody's so nostalgic about it. And people had slightly forgotten about it. So when people see it, they're instantly reminded of maybe their childhood, or if they're older, them wearing it in the 80s, or them having seen someone wearing it, or Pretty Woman having watched the film. So it kind of speaks to most people in some way. And so we started it thinking this would just be really fun. And as long as we can keep production made in the UK and try and make it ethical and sustainable, how fun to have, a company providing a one size fit for the customer.
Yeah. And then, so you mentioned you didn't know whether this was going to take off, and this was going to be an enjoyable venture without too much pressure on either of you, but it has taken off, to put it mildly. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't think I can scroll through Instagram in the summer months without seeing, you know, a bevy of famous faces wearing Hansa G. How does that feel for you?
It's incredible. It still feels very unreal. I think, especially with the pandemic, I haven't been away and I haven't been on a beach holiday. And I was pregnant the year before, so I didn't really go on any holidays. But before I had Frank, and before I got pregnant, so probably 2.5 years ago, I had just started to have that amazing thing where I'd go to a pretty remote place on holiday and there'd be 10 out of 20 people wearing Hansa G on the beach. And that was a really incredible, incredible feeling. And I think I'm excited to try it out now that it's even bigger than it was then. But yeah, it's an immense sense of pride. But there are so many moving parts to it now that I feel very proud of myself. But there's Peter, we have a team of 17 people, and they're so, it's a small team, and everybody's so close and integrated in the process of Hansa and of the brand and of the tone of voice. It's everybody's success.
Mm-hmm. And how, so design came easily to you. You're obviously so creative, and you're, you know, educated and accomplished in this field. What was it like then running a business and figuring all that out? That a very fast growing business.
I found that the business side of things wasn't actually the most complicated part. It was always very organic, and because we didn't have KPIs and targets and budgets, you know, we didn't spend very much money because we're an Instagram brand, so we were never having to put together budgets. There's no investment, so we don't have to put together board packs for investors and things like that. So from a business point of view, it started off quite simply. I would say the most challenging thing, and the thing that's been incredible, was learning how to manage a team of people, which I don't think I was probably that good at the beginning. I just didn't understand the structure of everything and how, you know, people respond really well to really clear structure, reviews. I think it's just getting the best out of everybody. I just kind of was like, let's just do this thing, and left people to it. And I think learning how to connect and make people feel part of something really exciting, it was my biggest learning curve, and I learned it pretty quickly, but it was great. It was like a really positive learning curve, because the team's so great and so amazing.
And when you say it was an Instagram brand, I mean, now because we're all stuck at home, every brand to us is an Instagram, but it is an Instagram brand. But is this a particular business model that you adhered to or utilized?
No, what I mean by that is that we were one of the first brands, a bit like people who became famous musicians through MySpace. We were one of the often pinpointed as a brand that started with very little. We didn't really spend any money on marketing. Our website wasn't particularly good. We didn't do very expensive shoots. We didn't do lots of gifting. We basically had an Instagram account that quite quickly just gained lots of traction, and people started to find us through Instagram. So that's all free, so we didn't have to spend any money on anything. Celebrities found us through Instagram because their friend would wear it, their friend would post it, their friend would see it. It was like this ripple effect. And for most people, you know, 10 years ago, starting a brand, you'd start it and you'd have to say, like, okay, I've got this amazing product, but how do people see it? How do I get it out there? To do that, you have to spend money. And we really didn't, which was kind of incredible.
And do you think it's kind of revolutionized the process, the marketing process now? I mean, Instagram is, you know, you can have somebody like, well, you can have many people. If we talk about the famous people who've worn Hansa G, we'll be talking all day. But you can have somebody like that with such a huge following wear something, which is just completely eradicates the need for a big photo shoot and a marketing plan. You know, is this the way forward?
Well, yes and no. I think it would be sad. I think that whilst it's really amazing that you can start your brand through Instagram, as with everything like that, it means that there's just a lot on there, isn't there? There's like anybody can start anything, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that good, and it can just be on there, and it's like it's become very crowded and noisy, I think. But again, it does give everybody a really good chance of getting seen, so it's incredible in that sense. The only other thing is, without investing money yourself into your brand and being able to give a really clear brief about how you want to portray yourself, it's quite hard to be very diverse potentially, because, you know, in order to get, so in the beginning for us, we just reposted our customers' imagery. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have loads and loads of different body shapes if initially one type of person is buying your swimwear. So you have to reinvest money yourself in order to speak in the right tone of voice, the tone of voice that you want to portray, because you don't have any control over that content otherwise.
And is it a consideration for you now that the brand has grown and grown so quickly, and really is one of the most talked about swimwear brands of the last couple of years? Is it important to prevent overexposure and to protect the exclusivity of the brand at all?
Yeah, and I think we do that because we are left, again, it's organic, we're left with no choice. We've grown so quickly that we can't really do all the things that we want to do, and maybe that's a good thing. Also, our production is in the UK, so it is smaller than most people's. It's not like we're getting everything made in China or our fabric made in China, and therefore we've got this like incredibly fast surplus supply of stuff that can be turned around in like a week. Everything takes real time. Everything's made by really skilled people, and lots of them are one-man bands. So it's a different level of production, I would say. But yeah, I mean, overexposure is something everybody worries about. It's really hard to know when to start to really sort of pull back on that. Mm-hmm. I think it's something we're considering literally as we're speaking. Yeah.
I think it's a great thing to have to consider. And you mentioned that everything is made in the UK, obviously a very sustainable choice and, you know, very conscious. Tell me how much of your business plan is considered around sustainability, because I know recently you announced that Hunza G is officially carbon neutral. What does that mean?
So it just means that we worked with this amazing company called Zero, and they come in and they do sort of due diligence on you as a brand. You have to be completely transparent about your production, your way everyone travels to work. I mean, it goes down to the smallest minutiae, like how people get to work, where people get their lunch from, what the packaging of your lunch comes in, and the where your fabric's made, the everything. And they then come back with a really clear, I'll say a pie chart because I'm not very technical, a pie chart of where your weaknesses are, where your strengths are, what you would need to work on. And that's just for you to come up with a strategy for how to improve everything. And then you can, so they do it, it's 1 year behind. So we've become carbon neutral for 2020. At the end of 2021, they'll look at what we did this year and hopefully it will have improved from last year. So we've now offset our carbon by buying carbon credits that are a rainforest company where they are planting trees, or a company that's to do with agricultural water. So you invest money into those businesses, or you know, ecological companies that are trying to make a difference in a positive way. So that offsets your carbon.
And you had a little baby about a year ago. Did that change your approach to, you know, the future of our planet and sustainability? Because in a similar boat, it changed mine. I think that it made me a lot more conscious of what I was doing and how I was consuming.
Yeah, so I think having a baby is an amazing thing. It changes how you see everything. I mean, it changes how you feel about your health, how you feel about looking after yourself, your own, definitely the environment, definitely what's the world going to be like in 50 years time. Am I being a good role model? I mean, the amount of like questions and like reconsiderings it throws up is incredible and exhausting and amazing and stressful. But I think for him, but also just Gen Z in general, are just so incredibly on it. I've got an 18-year-old brother and he talks about things that I would never have been talking about at the age of 18. They want to know the story behind everything. They want to know the authenticity, the credibility of everything. They're willing to spend more money on items of clothing or food or whatever it is, as long as they know that it's come from the right place and that they're able to check that out. They want total transparency, and quite rightly so. They want to know the back end of everything. Mm. And they are really interested in the environment and in politics and in making a difference. And so it just feels like that's what's going on, whether you want to get on board with it or not. I mean, sustainability, especially after the pandemic, is the number one conversation for all brands. It's the number one topic. And it would be impossible not to get on board with that. I think what will be tricky is that everybody can say in some way that they're sustainable or ethical, and I suppose that needs to be monitored or regulated maybe at some point, and that will be an interesting sort of turnaround from everybody saying that they're ethical and sustainable, which is what they're doing right now.
I think even, that carbon neutral monitoring that you mentioned, I think even that is such a good indication and a good awareness for you and your staff to have. Let's talk then about the pandemic, and obviously, travel is off the cards for the last year or so. But it's something that I would have imagined went hand in hand with being a swimwear designer and running a swimwear label. How has it impacted on you?
Well, we've grown more than we've ever grown since the first week of the pandemic. We our sales went through the roof last March. I don't quite understand it. I'm trying to make reasons for it, which could be that we're a one size item, so people know that they can wear it whatever they're going through. So if you got pregnant in the pandemic, or you ended up putting on weight, or you ended up losing weight, or you can buy it and know that it's going to be something that it's an investment piece, you can wear it forever. But I think people also just want a bit of positivity, and they want to be able to buy things that make them feel good, and hopefully Hansaji is that, because of the made in the UK, the one size and the colourful flattering fabric.
Mm-hmm. And what are the future plans then? So I mean, it's expanded and it's grown so much, and we've kiddie wear now and beautiful designs. What's the future plans for Hansa G?
We're launching a new product this summer, which is really exciting. So not actually a piece of, it's not swimwear, it's related to swimwear, but we're launching that in June, which is really exciting. I can actually say, I don't know why I was being so MI5 about that. We're launching towels, which are really exciting. I don't know why. We're launching towels, which are really exciting. So they're rolled up towels, that end up being like a yoga mat, but they're branded with a big scrunchie holding them together, which is really fun in the crinkle fabric. So that's really fun. The kids wear hopefully is going to really take off this summer. We're properly shooting that in a couple of weeks, which is really exciting, with Pandora Sykes. There are 10 children on that shoot, which is absolutely terrifying. I know everyone's in different times, but it's going to be a long and wild day, I think. And the goal is to just keep on making seamless one size fabrics that look amazing on people and make people feel great.
Yeah, well, it definitely does that. Hansa G definitely does that. So listen, thank you for everything. Thank you for telling me about this amazing business and taking some time to join us on the Brand Thomas podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.